Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Magaglio.
I'm in Dong. 76 days until the 2021-2022 college basketball season tips off.
Yeah, and obviously back for another conference preview. This is number 6, I do believe, and is the Colonial, also known as the CAA. I'm very excited to do this one. I know we didn't have much knowledge on it coming into this season because we knew a lot of guys did leave this conference, but it's looking to be pretty solid once again this upcoming season, so I'm very excited to get to it. And Drexel, obviously the reigning champs, did very well against Illinois. They did the best they could as a 16 seed, but obviously ran a little bit short with that game. Very short, actually, but we won't get into the logistics of that game too much. But, yeah, really excited for the CAA. Looking to be a very good conference. So, yeah, just happy to be back. 76 days. Just keep on moving, baby.
Yeah, keep on moving. And your birthday was a couple of weeks ago. I sent you a special gift, and I put something in that package. Would you like to show what I put in that package?
I guess I will. I mean, I knew I didn't expect this to be coming, but now that I see it every single day, it's coming. So, it's obviously – the Hook'em Horns picture. Thanks very much. Now I can officially throw this in the trash. So thank you for that. But yeah, I'm just going to do that right now. So yeah, I mean, obviously, thanks for the gift. And I appreciate the image, I guess. But we'll see what happens this year. I have big expectations for Texas. But we'll see what happens when we cover, obviously, Albion Christian and Texas later in these episodes. But for today, let's just get to the conference. And big piece of breaking news coming Friday, also with Monty Bates. Stay tuned for that episode. We'll definitely be doing one Friday as well. So yeah, obviously, Dark Horse Player of the Year. You know the deal by now. So let's just get right to the should I just go with the Player of the Year that we both have?
Let me just do the runner-up first.
All right, yeah, do the runner-up first.
The runner-up, Ryan Allen of Delaware, 15.5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists last year. He's returning for his 5th year at Delaware. Big expectations with his team, and hopefully they can win a lot.
Yes, huge expectations for Ryan Allen and company. I really do like what Delaware has coming back next year. We'll talk about that a little bit later in this episode. But the consensus player of the year, we both have Cameron Winter from Drexel. Our 16.5 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 5 assists per game this past year. He was an absolute beast for Drexel. And that's one of the big reasons why Drexel was so successful last year and obviously winning the Colonial Conference Tournament. So definitely a unanimous decision, I think, personally. And definitely going to be Winter. But regardless, he's an all-conference player coming back from last year. Very good talent. Definitely should be the consensus, probably projected player of the year for this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm. And we also have the same dark horse, and you could say the dark horse.
All right, our dark horse, also another pretty unanimous one, Elon coming here. Just a great recipe for Elon coming back. Obviously, 3 starters coming back, some of the bench as well. Definitely a sleeper to watch out for. I think this team's high tier 2, low tier 1 in terms of Colonial this upcoming season. Hunter McIntosh comes back as the top option. Also, the biggest piece coming back, Gerald Gillians-Butler coming back. Should be healthy once again. I believe he only played in 3 games, but he was averaging 17.5 in those 3 games. So definitely should be a huge piece for hopefully healthy for this Elon team upcoming this season. So yeah, if everything goes right, Elon could be back and definitely competing with these top 4 teams or 3 teams, sorry. But yeah, I really do like what Elon has. Definitely going to be in that conversation to maybe win it all and maybe sneak in as the bid for the Colonial.
Yeah, just adding to that, they're a very young team still, and they made a very, very surprising run in the conference tournament last year. And yeah, like you said, they returned a majority of their team. They should be good for next year.
Definitely. And for today's Colonial, we only have 10 teams to mention, but we do have a lot of very drastic changes, I should say. Not drastic, but a couple of movers definitely for both of our rankings. And believe it or not, we do not have the same last place team. At least this is the first episode this year. We have not had the same last place team. So should be very exciting. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a great episode. So let's just get right to your different last place team for the Colonial.
Yeah, it's not the same last place team unless I make an in-episode change right now, but I'm not going to. The last place team is UNC Wilmington for me. They only have 2 starters in the 6-man return, but their starter, one of their starters, Jalen Wims, yeah, he was their top option last year, but unfortunately they have no supporting cast. I think it's going to be a long season for UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. I do have the 1 spot higher just because Wims and also Mike Okoru is coming back, which is their top 2 options essentially. So I'm going to keep them 1 spot higher, but I still definitely think they will be a bottom 2 team finish in the Colonial this upcoming season. So my last place team, a bit of a surprise, it's going to be Charleston here. I know Charleston is a very new look for this team. Obviously, their coach, Earl Grant, went to BC. They got a new coach coming in, Winthrop's old coach, Pat Kelsey. So he's definitely a very good coach. Do not get me wrong by any means. But I think it's going to be a very different look and definitely going to be a rebuild year, in my personal opinion, for Charleston. A lot of guys left the program to follow Coach Grant or go elsewhere. And they only have two starters coming back from last year. So they definitely got a lot of transfers in, don't get me wrong. But I think Charleston this year are going to be a little bit of a rebuild, a small setback for a very big future with, obviously, new coach Pat Kelsey.
Mm-hmm. Number nine, I have Townsend here. Very disappointing year last year. We both had them as the favorite in this conference, both the number one team. This year should be completely opposite. They should be towards the bottom, especially with their top option, Zay Martin, gone.
Yeah, I mean, they also have another very good top option in Nicholas Timberlake as well. But I do think Townsend will be a bottom three finish. So, spoiler alert, I'm doing a mid-episode switch in a minute. But I'm going UNC Wilmington here at number nine. Like I said, only two starters coming back, six-man returns, like you said. Thankfully, like you said, Jalen Williams coming back, Mike Okoru, like I said, coming back. The big thing, supporting cast, they don't really have one. That's going to be why UNC Wilmington finishes in the bottom two. And I think it's going to be a little bit of a while since this team to come back, because obviously Wims is probably going to be gone this following season. So I don't really know what UNC Wilmington has for in terms of young talent. So I think this team could be down the depths for a couple more years, unfortunately. But you never know. Things could definitely be unexpected. But for right now, UNC Wilmington, definitely number nine for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a mid-episode change right now. At number eight, I'm putting Charleston here. Pat Kelsey, obviously, he's taking the realms of the head coaching now. He is a winner, so that's why I have him at number eight. I don't care who they have on the roster. That offense that he runs is a beautiful thing to see, and he's possibly the best coach in this conference.
Yeah, definitely a good consideration for best coach in the conference, but I still think it's going to be a little bit of a small step back. And, yeah, we both making an episode switch right here at number eight. I'm going Townsend here at number eight. Obviously, you just talked about him. Three stars return as well as the seventh man. Obviously, Zay Martin gone, went back to New Mexico State or New Mexico. And, obviously, Nick Timberlake, who was one of their top options, does come back, thankfully. And the big piece coming in, obviously, High Point transfer Curtis Holland III. That's going to be a very big piece, and that's something we did not really know because High Point didn't release their roster. But, yeah, Curtis Holland coming into Townsend. I mean, they got a very good transfer last year. Didn't really result. So I think it could be another very unfortunate and disappointing season for Townsend. So I got them here in the bottom three, finishing at number eight for right now.
Mm-hmm. And that team that benefits from this mid-episode change, William and Mary at number seven. They lose their star, but essentially they return everyone else. If other guys can step up, they have a very, very – they can be very competitive.
Yes, definitely agree. My mid-episode switch was William and Mary as well. Now number seven with you as well. Well, obviously they lost the top option, Luke Lowell. But the four other stars do return, and the sixth man does return as well. Now, so now Connor Cochera is now the top option for this team. But William & Mary has a lot of potential, like you said. So I think this team could definitely be very competitive. But right now, they're just sitting in the mid-tier of the pack, towards the bottom of the pack, in the middle of the pack, I should say. But you never know. William & Mary could definitely have a James Madison-type season and maybe explode and elevate up to maybe the top. But we'll obviously see what happens. But this is a team to definitely evaluate and watch out for as the season moves on.
Mm-hmm. Number six, Northeastern here, kind of in the same situation. They lose Tyson Walker, their star, but essentially they kind of return everybody else. I just think they have a better supporting cast than William and Mary.
Yeah, I mean, these three teams are in the same boat that we're just going to talk about right now. James Madison, the other team in the same boat. No Matt Lewis. Obviously, the other top six, though, do return besides Matt Lewis, but JMU could definitely try and make another very good run in the Colonial, like you said. Valdo Morse, who is going to be now the top option, I believe he averaged about 14.5 points a game last year. He's going to be the new top option for this team. And the supporting cast is pretty good for James Madison, but they're in the same boat as William & Mary. It really depends on if they can elevate or not. But they definitely have the potential to do so, but it's just a matter of if and when they do so. So for now, putting them at number six, but they could definitely move up one or two spots, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I have James Madison, my top five at number five. Obviously, they lose Matt Lewis, but what a year it was for them, going from worst to first. Fortunately, they could not make a run at the Colonial since Matt Lewis was tested positive for COVID as they were about to play their game. But, yeah, I just think their supporting cast is a lot better than Northeastern and William & Mary's.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree a little bit. I think Northeastern's cast is a little bit better than James Madison's, in my personal opinion. But I'll talk about them right now. I got them here at number five. Tyson Walker leaves, like you said, but the five of the top seven do return for Northeastern. Additionally, they bring in conference transfer Joe Pridgen back home. Obviously, started his career at Holy Cross, went to UNC Wilmington, now back in Massachusetts and Northeastern. So definitely should take a small step back without Walker, but definitely has potential to elevate with the other four starters and the sixth man coming back as well. So I'm very excited to see what Northeastern can do. I think they're still a very solid team. And, yeah, I mean, they won it a couple of years ago, I believe. So they definitely had a good chance to do so once again. So I believe Northeastern, and we'll see what they can do with a little bit of a different squad, but a new top option coming in.
At number four, I have our dark horse here, Elon. Big season coming for them. They're obviously a top four team in this conference.
Yeah, definitely. Elon, definitely a top four team. In terms of tiers, we've been doing the tier list a lot. I think Elon definitely sits at the top of the second tier, at the bottom of the first tier. I don't really know which tier I put them in right now. I think these top three teams are kind of in their own tier, and Elon's just a little bit behind in that sense. But they're definitely a couple steps ahead of these other teams, with like Northeastern, James Madison, William & Mary. So I think Elon's probably in the bottom of the first tier, but they're definitely going to be a very good team this year. Excited to see what they can do with hopefully a new healthy team.
Mm-hmm. At number three, Delaware here. Everyone returns from last year's team, but something I'm not going to say often, I'm going to take the hype over experience in this conference.
Yeah, very bold. I know you're the big experience over hype guy, so I don't know. I guess I'm going to be rocking with it today in this episode, so I'm going to have Delaware a little bit higher than you do. So my number three team is going to be Hofstra, actually, a team we have not talked about today just yet. Three stars in the seventh man do return for Hofstra this upcoming season. Leading the way, Mr. Jalen Ray, a very good season he had last year. He's looking to be an all-conference player once again. Definitely has a good chance to be player of the year in this conference as well. In the preseason, at least. But obviously, bringing some very good transfers led by Mr. Aaron Estrada coming in from Oregon, and also Zach Cooks coming in from NJIT. I think Hofstra definitely nears the top of this Colonial Conference, but it's going to be a very good race between all three of these top teams.
Mm-hmm. At number two, I have Hofstra here. They had a big coaching hire this offseason. They hired Speedy Claxton, who is Hofstra's all-time leading scorer. And it's looking like it's paid off since they have three starters returning, and they went very heavy on the transfer portal. They got Zach Cooks, they got Aaron Estrada. This could definitely be one of the top fives in mid-major college basketball.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening as well. But obviously, the big question is what the bench has to offer. The bench is pretty vital for Hofstra. We don't really know what it's going to be looking like, but if that bench elevates, then Hofstra could definitely be winning this Colonial when it's all said and done. But it's going to be a matter of if and when it happens. So we'll see what happens as the season goes on. But, yes, my number two team, Drexel. It's not going to be Delaware. It's going to be Drexel right here. Three starters coming back and the whole bench returning for Drexel, the reigning Colonial champs. I think Drexel's a very good chance to repeat. We talked about Cameron Winter earlier, and James Butler also coming back as well, the top two options from last year's team. Coincidence? I think not. Drexel should have a very good season brewing, so I'm very excited to see if they can go back-to-back and maybe get a little bit of a better draw in the March Madness tournament, but we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Drexel, that is my top team in the CAA. They're the defending champs. They returned the top two players in Cam Winter and James Butler. I think they have a great chance of securing that auto bid once again. I think this is the team to beat in this conference.
Yeah, definitely going to be the team with the biggest target on their back after winning last year. But I think a team will take down this target, and I think that will be Delaware this year. Everyone comes back from Delaware. It's going to be a very good season for the Blue Hens, and they're going to compete once again. It's been a little bit of a while since Delaware's been back at the top. Obviously, you remember the Nate Darling days not too long ago, but that's when they were at their peak. I think Delaware's back at that peak, thankfully. So I'm going to put them at number one, and this team – could be definitely the team to beat. Obviously, Drexel, the biggest target on their backs. But I think Delaware, a very good chance to do some good stuff. Like we talked about, Ryan Allen coming back. Dylan Anderson as well coming back. A very good duo for, obviously, Delaware. Also, shout out to Johnny McCoy, fellow native from Massachusetts, very close to us. So that should be a very good one. I'm taking the experience over hype. Let's go, Delaware, and let's go, Blue Hens.
Mm-hmm. And that is it for the CAA conference preview. Next up, Conference USA should be a lot easier than the CAA, I'd say.
Yes, the CAA was actually pretty hard. Obviously, we knew a lot of guys were leaving this conference. We didn't really know who else was coming back. But, yeah, I mean, it was very hard. Obviously, we had a little bit of a differentiating opinions in this episode, which hasn't really been an ongoing theme as of yet in these conference previews. But don't worry. Once we get to the harder ones, those opinionated differences will be coming relatively soon. Conference USA, like you said, should be a relatively easier one. I'm not saying specifically easy, but it will be an easier one. Obviously, no Charles Bassey next year. Sad face to me. But we'll see what happens, and we'll see what team comes out on top, because there's going to be a lot of new faces in this Conference USA. Obviously, North Texas had a very good run last year. We'll see if they can get back to where they were last year or another team steps up to the plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is all for today. We'll be back in 2 days, maybe 3 days. And yeah, you have any thoughts?
No, I mean, special guest still in the works. We don't really know what happened, but we also have another special guest coming. I don't know if we told you about that already or not, but yeah, we got special guests coming. They're going to be coming eventually, so we'll let you know when they come and when we fit them in. But regardless, I think that is all we have for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. And it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Horns down always.